بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, a very important and critical aspect, even a criterion of deciding whether it is or it is not, in terms of intelligent design, is that something which is intelligently designed works perfectly when it is fulfilling the purpose for which it is designed. Right? You can use a screwdriver to dig a hole in the ground, but that's not why it is designed. So you can't dig it very efficiently. Using a spade is more sensible because the spade is designed for that work. Make intelligent design in nature, in the world, living things, and the intelligent designer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. One of the aspects of intelligent design is the peregrine falcon, which is designed for speed. A peregrine falcon, when it is diving, travels at a speed of 250 miles an hour. Now, if you think about flying, what is the biggest impediment to flying? What is the single most important force that you have to overcome if you want to take off? Gravity. Right? But how does the peregrine falcon reach a speed of 250 miles an hour? What is helping it? Gravity. All that the bird is doing is falling out of the sky. It's not doing anything. It's not beating its wings. At that speed, if you see a peregrine falcon, what is called the swoop, when it is diving, it tucks its wings in. It's almost like a, If you actually see the picture, it's like somebody has turned a switch. The wing from where it is, it goes like this. Literally, this way. The wings are crossed at the back like this. And it reduces the amount of surface area which is exposed to the air. That's all it's doing. The rest is what gravity is doing. So it takes 1.25 kilograms or 1.5 kilograms. And that is now traveling at an acceleration of 32 feet per second per second. And it reaches that speed. So what is helping the falcon? Its biggest impediment. The biggest force against flying is helping it to reach the speeds it needs. And that is the aspect of intelligent design. That if something is designed, if something is doing the work for which it was designed, then all forces around it conspire to help it to succeed. The forces which otherwise would have opposed it actually work in its favor. Right? Let me give you another example. Take sailing. What is standard procedure if you are on a sailing ship? Or if you are sailing a boat by yourself, whether solo or whatever, what is standard procedure if you get hit by a storm? Which direction do you go? With the wind or against the wind? With the wind. With the wind. Right? So have you changed the wind? Do you have the force to change the wind? No. All you are doing is, you are using the same wind to save you, whereas the same wind would have sunk you. So by turning your ship, by turning the sail in a way where now the wind becomes a force to help you with. What happens if you are with full sail, you are running in front of, you are running ahead of the wind, so you are going with the wind, yet you find the wind is too high, what do you do with the sail? You reel it in. You cut down the amount of sail. because the wind resistance, I mean the wind pushing the boat alone is enough. If you have too much of sail, then either the sail will burst or your mast will break or something will happen, or you know, it will drive you into the sea. So you cut down the sail. So what have you done? A force which otherwise would have destroyed you, you turned it to your advantage, and that force now saves you. That force now helps you. You have no control over the force. You can't make the wind come and you can't make the wind go away. You can't reduce it, you can't increase it, you can't do anything. What you can do is with yourself. Right? So this is the aspect of intelligent design. And therefore, the point I want to make is that if something, whether it's an inanimate thing like a ship or whether it's a living thing like a peregrine falcon, or I can give you many examples, I don't want to take your time now. As long as it is fulfilling the purpose for which it was created, then everything, all forces around it conspire to make it succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu told us why He created us. What did He say? Why did He create us? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have created the jinn and the human beings for nothing other than My worship. Everything else is in order to help us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why must you earn a living? So that you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have enough to eat and so on and so forth, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why must you have a family? So that you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, and so that you will have some, one of the means of sadaqatul jariyah. Why must you have a roof over your head? Why must you have safety and security in your land? Everything. Why must you have good health? So that you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything around you. Now, if you do that, if you work on this basis, then you will find that you will, all the forces around you will conspire to enable you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best. Because that is the purpose for which you have been created. Also, if you do that, then you find that you cannot possibly, by definition, go into or do things which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you earn a haram income in order to worship Allah? You cannot do that. It's illogical, right? So if you are saying, I am earning in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically your income has to be halal, because there's no way any moment any option comes of earning in a haram way. I mean, you have to be insane to do that. Obviously you are not. So you will say, no, I can't do that, because my purpose in life is to worship Allah. So how can I have an interest-based income and I'm going to Hajj with it? How can I have an interest-based income and I'm going and making Umrah? I can make 500,000 Umrahs in my whole life, not one will be accepted because the income is haram. So what sense does it make? Doesn't make any sense, no? So you will say, no, let me straighten this out first. Let me first correct my halal income. Make my income halal. Then I go make one Umrah, Alhamdulillah. This is enough. I make one Hajj in my whole life, Alhamdulillah, it's enough. So if we focus on this and say, my purpose, am I fulfilling my purpose? Second important thing to understand is that the thing which stops fulfilling its purpose essentially becomes garbage. Right? You know, in the handicrafts class in school, we used to do things like electric bulbs, right? So you take the bulb, you knock the, these are all dead bulbs, which is finished. So you, the connector on top, you remove that, and then you make that bulb into a small aquarium, or you make this bulb into, put some soil in it and you grow a plant in it and so on and so forth, right? But is that the purpose of the bulb? Why must you have a, why do you buy an electric bulb? To give light. Now when it stops illuminating, even if you use it for some other alternate purpose, that's never a mainstream purpose. If you want to grow a garden, you don't go looking for dead bulbs, right? You go buy pots. Somebody may use it as a novelty, but that's not the purpose of it. So what do you do with something which has stopped fulfilling its purpose? It's garbage. You throw it. You junk it. What do? You throw it away. That's it. No matter how important that thing was, no matter how much money it cost you in the first place, I mean, you take these phones and so on, and it costs quite a lot of money. You take these mobile phones. But once it is dead, that's it. What do you do with that? You throw it away. That's exactly what happens also with us. When we stop fulfilling our purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also does what anybody else will do, which is, first of all, you take it, you rub it, you knock it a few times, it's not working, now what? Chuck it. My submission to you is, that is what is happening to us today. We are in this place of testing for repair. Is it repairable? I mean, Allah of course knows, He doesn't have to test, but I'm just saying. So, we are being knocked here and there, and we call it trials and tribulations, we call it riots, we call it this, we call it pogroms, we call it killing, these are all what? These are all repair, testing for repair, you know, knock here, knock there, and then what happens? Garbage. Get chucked. Because purpose is not fulfilled. So what must we do? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on fulfilling the purpose for which we have been created, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship means obedience. What else is there? We just prayed Salatul Fajr. Did we pray it anyway if we felt like praying it, or we followed some rule? Supposing we said, no, I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but why should I follow this imam? I mean, he is reciting some surah. I don't want to recite this surah. I will recite some other surah because I like that surah more. Hoti namaz. So, when you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are following it because you know this is how it is done. There is a rule, there is a way. Worship means something. So, how do we believe that our rest of our life, Allah has no concern over it? Allah created us. He gave us life. He gave us all that we need to live. He gave us all the resources. But we believe that all of that He gave it to us. Now you gave it to us. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. I don't need you anymore. All this I will use in whichever way I like. Yeah, does that work? So my submission to you and my reminder to myself is, let us get real with ourselves. Let us get real with ourselves. Don't reach a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all right, this is garbage. Because that will be a very expensive, very expensive, you know, deal. Not valuable, expensive. We don't want to reach there. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make istighfar, make tawbah, change our lives. Believe me, we don't need any fatwa from anybody to know what is wrong in our lives. We are all well aware because we are doing things with knowledge. There's not one single person here who is doing something wrong by mistake. There's no mistake. I know it is wrong, still I'm doing it. That's the bad news. The good news is that you know what is wrong, so don't do it. That is all. Don't do it. Stop doing that. Don't worry about what this one will say, that let anybody say anything. Nobody comes in our cover. Only you go alone. So let us straighten our lives and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will find, as I mentioned, intelligent design, the whole world will conspire to make you succeed. And you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes obstacles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides safety and security, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then make you succeed in this dunya wal akhirah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan. The dua is not Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan aw fil akhirati hasanatan. No. yalla give me goodness here or there. No. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil karim wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.